Let's open our Bibles to Luke 22:40. Luke 22:40. Tonight I want to talk to you about seven places that Jesus shed his blood. Okay? Amen. So, I'm just going to get right into it. Number one, the sweating of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay? That's number one. Luke 22:40. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And in being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, Pastor Deb had talked to you about this a couple of weeks ago. And this actually signifies that Jesus won back our willpower. Okay? Our willpower to resist temptation. That's what Jesus did, because he overcame the greatest temptation. It was so intense, it caused him to sweat blood, okay? Number two, the stripes on Jesus' back and the shedding of the blood at the whipping post. That would be John 19:1. Let me just read it to you. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, okay? Now, Isaiah 53:5. You're all familiar with that verse. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him. And by his stripes, you are healed. Okay? Now, so what we see it actually with the shedding of this blood is it signifies that Jesus won back our health. Amen. He won back our health. His body was broken for us, so that we could actually be whole. Now, you know, today in a lot of the modern church, they think healing has passed away. But according to what I read in the Word of God, healing has not passed away. It's kind of too late to tell me that healing's not mine, because the Lord has healed me many times. And I'm very grateful for the healing power of God. Number three, he was bruised and suffered internal bleeding from being beaten. Now, Isaiah 53:5, once again, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Transgressions and iniquities are two different things. This actually signifies our right standing with God. Jesus won back our right standing with God and delivered us from our iniquities, from passed on sins, from stuff that's really coming from the inside. Okay? And then number four, the shedding of blood when receiving the crown of thorns on his head. John 19:2 says, "And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put him on a purple robe." Now, this, of course, real easy, peace of mind. Jesus won back our peace of mind. Glory to God. What a good thing. And so we're free of torment. The enemy has no right to torment your mind. The thing about it is, you understand that he is a totally defeated foe, church. He's a defeated foe. The only thing he has left is his intellect is intact, and he lies. And he lies to you to get you to use your power, your words on yourself. And he'll try to get in there to the mind and deal with it. I was talking to the thermostats. I said, you know, the word repent is not very friendly today in a lot of camps because of the grace message. They don't like the word repent. However, if you really look at the word repent actually means go back to what God's originally thought of or originally wanted to do. Go back to what God's doing. So when you say repent, you're actually saying the renewing of the mind. So then Romans 12 comes into play and you begin to renew your mind. That's what we're called. Not called to be conformed. That's religion. We're called to be transformed. It's through the Spirit. It comes from the inner man, and then you produce the nature of God and you start doing what's right, doing it right because it's right. Amen. Can't go the other way. You can't earn God's love. But Jesus did give you your peace of mind. He gave you your right standing. And so you can tell the enemy to get out. What Brother Hagin used to say? He used to say, I tell you this all the time, the birds may fly over your head, but they don't have to nest in your hair. And so you can cast down imaginations. Number five, the blood that was shed through Jesus' pierced hands. This is Matthew 27:35. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They divided my garments among them, and my clothing they cast lots. Now, when they say crucify, you're automatically getting the picture nailed. You're getting nailed to the cross. That's what that means. That's what the custom was. And so this signifies that Jesus won back our prosperity. So that everything we put our hands to do will prosper. Yeah. Amen. And then we see that the blood was shed. This is number six. The blood was shed through Jesus' pierced feet. And Luke 23:33, it's a scripture similar to the other one. When they reached the place called the skull, there they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals also, one on the right and one on the left. This signifies that Jesus won back our dominion and authority. Our dominion and authority. In the very first book of the Bible, Genesis 1:26, God gave man dominion. He said, take authority. We took authority then, but Adam lost that authority. The Bible says that the captain of our salvation has brought us back to glory. He's brought us back. And the Bible says over in Ephesians 1, absolutely, that we have been given authority with Jesus. We are the body and we rule and reign. I just feel sorry for people that don't have that revelation. Because using your authority, you're not bossing God around. It's what God gave you into this when you were placed into this earth. You can tell the devil where to go. Praise the Lord. Go over and look at Matthew 13 over there. Binding and loosing. We have authority. Use your authority. That's why you need to have the right conversation and the right confession. I'll leave that alone tonight. But, well, here's Luke 10:19. I actually wrote this down. Behold, I give you authority to tread on the serpents and the scorpions and over all authority of the enemy. That's good. And nothing by any means shall hurt you. Glory to God. Amen. You know, a lot of places it says power, but some of the translations, it's dunamis, and other places it's exousia. And that's authority. They're different. You want power and authority. Amen. Number seven, the blood that was shed through the spear in Jesus' side. John 19:34, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Now, the fact that blood and water flowed out of his side symbolizes and really proves that Jesus died of a broken heart. When I say broken heart, he had intense anguish and the weight and the burden of all of our sins. And he took that upon himself. You have no idea what rejection feels like compared to Jesus. I mean, the people that were for him are now trying to kill him. And just continual betrayal here. And it was just so much that his heart stopped beating. So his heart failed. It was heart failure. Now, church, death by crucifixion is about suffocation. Okay? And so people can live for several days on a cross. They did. That doesn't happen anymore. Thank you, Jesus. I hope. But so Jesus died within hours. So he didn't die of suffocation. He actually gave up his spirit. Amen. And his heart stopped beating. And so this signifies that Jesus won back our joy. Glory to God. He healed us of our broken hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, so those are the seven things, what they signify. But what about the blood? What is it about the blood? I mean, since I was a little girl in the Baptist church, we were singing nothing but the blood. Always singing blood songs. Amen. I remember in the 90s, Sister Copeland made a big deal about us singing songs about the blood. And when she did, the glory began to manifest. Thank you, Jesus, for that. So what is it about the blood? You know, we sing and we decree that the blood, that it protects us and the blood of Jesus. I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus, church, is the greatest mystery of eternity. The greatest mystery. It's the deepest mystery in divine wisdom. And I just pray, church, that we just wouldn't try to grasp the blood in 10 minutes. And try to get revelation like that. After all, God spent 4,000 years preparing man before they ever experienced this. Amen? So it's a very deep subject. And the blood of Jesus is very near to the heart of the Father. Very near. It's very precious to Him. And so I'm going to tell you, because we don't have 4,000 years left, I'm going to tell you what I know. And this is what I know. Leviticus 17:11. The life is in the blood. That's what the scripture said. For the life is in the blood, and I have given it upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Now, church, God formed Adam. He made him a body. He gave Jesus a body, but he made Adam a body. And Adam was lifeless until God breathed into him. But when God breathed into Adam, there was so much more that happened than just oxygen. He breathed a spark of life into Adam. He breathed some of himself into Adam. Every person alive has a spark. You little sparky you. I mean, that's just the truth. Even those that are not born again have a spark, or they wouldn't be alive. Amen. The only life flesh has is the life that it gets from blood. And I give you a good example. If we take away all your blood, you're not going to be alive. Amen. You would die. Well, Adam's blood was charged with life, just charged with life. His heart picks up this heavenly divine substance coming from God's lungs. It goes all through the parts of his body, and in a matter of seconds, he's alive, and the life went right into the blood. The life is in the blood. He should have never known sickness. Never. He should have never known it. But you know the story. So his blood became cursed. It became polluted. And it was passed on to all men. But now let's look at Jesus' blood. Luke 1:28. Don't even go there. You know what it says. It's about Jesus being born of a virgin. We've talked about that recently. Jesus was born of a virgin, okay? Now, because there is no way that the fetus could have a drop of human blood, because Jesus was going to have pure blood, she did not know a man. Okay, blood comes from the father, they say. The mother's blood comes to the placenta. It feeds the baby, but it's not what's circulating inside the baby. It feeds the baby through osmosis, but the blood itself does not go any further. Now, Jesus said this in the scripture. He said, "You have prepared a body for me." He didn't say blood. He didn't say anything about blood. He said, "You prepared a body for me." Are you with me? Getting the idea? Okay. So the life of the body came from heaven. The blood came from heaven. Got it? Jesus said in the scripture that he had only, the body was prepared for him. Now, Jesus never knew sickness or sin. Okay? He didn't know it. Not until the blood was polluted. Okay, now, just imagine having a transfusion of Jesus' blood. That'd be really good. Church, they could not kill Jesus. You have to understand that. They couldn't kill him. He gave up the ghost. He had divine life in him. 1 Peter 1:18 says that you were not redeemed from anything, what? Corruptible. You're not redeemed from something corruptible. You were redeemed from something that was incorruptible. Okay? John 6:53 says, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whew, imagine the Jews when they heard that. Oh, my goodness. But Jesus was saying there's a divine life in his blood. That's what he's saying. He's saying, I'm trying to give you divine life. I'm trying to give you supernatural life here. So Acts 2:22 says that it was not possible for him to be held by death. Acts 2:25 through 27 says he couldn't see corruption. Remember the story of Lazarus? You remember what Danny told us? She liked the word stinketh. When Martha went out there and said, but Jesus, Lazarus stinketh. Yeah. So putrefaction had set in. Okay. Well, Jesus was in the grave almost as long as Lazarus, but there was no smell because there was no putrefaction. And so if you can understand that, then you can understand how 1 Peter works. Okay. 1 Peter 2:24, how it works. You know what 1 Peter 2:24 says? Yes, same thing the Isaiah said, right. Only it says there, by his stripes you were healed. Yeah. You're already healed. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, walk with me just a minute, because this will help build the picture for you. A cat of nine tails has bone and metal embedded in it, and that's what they whipped Jesus with. I know this is hard, but we got to talk about it. So, listen, while he's being beaten, he could have wiped out them all with a whisper. He could have wiped them out. But he allowed his back to be ripped open. With every cruel blow, his blood spurted out and life evaporated into the earth. The life of God was diffused into this earth from heaven. God sent his life to the earth, bottled up in the body of Jesus like a vial of smelling salts, which when it's broke open, it pours out into the air. You with me? Yeah. Okay. Jesus' heart probably was racing about 200 beats per minute. He spent 6 hours with his back open while his heart pumped the life out of him. Thank you, Jesus. Squeezing out life-giving blood. Now, perhaps about 200,000 agonizing beats. Did you know that if you cut yourself in a main artery, you'll die in 23 seconds? That's how fast, if the blood leaves your body, you're gone. Here he is bleeding slowly. 200,000 beats here. Now it ran from his body into the dust that God had taken from Adam from. And now life is back in the earth. Do you get that? You remember the ground was cursed? You remember that? The ground was cursed. Jesus bled on the ground. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Now, this is what is important. Along with the corpuscles, the red blood corpuscles, the hemoglobin, everything else that's in his blood, there was an invisible, clear substance which flowed from the throne of God. And it was coming there out of Jesus. The Bible says in Revelation 22:1 that there is a river that comes from God, and it's flowing from the Lamb of God. The river of life was in his veins, church, and it was pumped out into this world. That breath vaporized into the world, and it's available to everyone who believes in the name of Jesus. You know, this is kind of quantum, isn't it? It's kind of some quantum thinking here. You got to think about that this supernatural life when this, see, his blood was supernatural. And it's hitting the natural realm. And it's been made available to all men. I don't know that many people think about this kind of stuff, but it's true. Because that, well, let me say this to you, that 1 Peter 2:24 works because those wounds on the body of Jesus were those little channels, little fountains of eternal life that God opened for us. The veil into the heavenlies, you remember the veil was rent? Well, the veil into the heavenly was rent by Jesus' torn flesh. This too much for y'all? Church, it didn't work because he was wounded. The thieves were wounded. It worked because out of 350 lacerations, hundreds of thousands of blood vessels were opened up and pure divine life flowed out of Jesus into humanity. You know why pleading the blood works? John 1:1-5, what does it say? In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. What does it say? In him was the light, and the light was the life of men. So in life is light. Okay? So Jesus' blood is life and light. And light always, what does it say? The darkness could not overtake it. It could not, they use the word comprehend. That was not good for me. But the darkness could not overtake the light that's coming from the Word of God himself, Jesus. Darkness could not overtake it because light always pushes out darkness. Always pushes out darkness. And so that's why we plead the blood. We're not pleading the blood like, oh, I'm pleading the blood. We're stating a case. We're like in a courtroom and we're saying, I plead the blood. I'm standing on the blood. I'm free because of the blood. I'm free because of the life in the blood. Get out darkness now. Get out accusation. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the what? What was the testimony? The blood. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. What did God breathe into Adam? He breathed life into him. He breathed life into him. James says that Father is the Father of lights. Do not err, my brethren. Don't be going around saying that God's the tempter, that he's the one tempting you. He can't be tempted. And it says the good and perfect gifts come from God. There's no shadow of turning in him. There's no shadow because he's light and life. He's the good and perfect God. He's not giving evil. He's giving life more abundant. That's what he does. That's what that life coming out of him did. He made men in his image, filled with light and life. They failed, but he had a plan. Oh, what a planner. Oh, what a plan. He had a plan before the foundation of the world. And Jesus said, Father, I will go and I will do it and we'll open up the river again. And these people can receive us and come into the family. And now there's a little fire in each of us. Darkness can't comprehend us. Brother Osteen used to say, there was some joke about, the demons are coming down that street, and the demons were going into people's houses, and they got up to the Osteen's house, and one of the demons said, don't go in there, they'll beat you. Beat your brains out. Don't be going. Well, that's who you are, with power and authority and the life of God on the inside of you. Yeah, Lord, I could say that. Okay, just here before we close. Mr. Henderson came out with a book about the courts of heaven. I like it. But the idea, church, is that when you come before God and the enemy's been accusing you day and night, there's just a real quick fix. Plead the blood. I like to go to God and say, Lord, I just command a crop failure over that mess I made. I just, cause you know, we're word and faith sowing, seed sowing people. So I just command a crop failure over that. Lord, forgive me for that. I'm getting back on your page here. You know, that's what I want to say to him. And then I just put the devil down. Father, I plead the blood. And I want to tell you something, church. If you think you're stuck because there's something you haven't conquered yet, God's already helping you right now. He's helping you right now. When you decided that you wanted to make some kind of correction, He got on your side right then. He got on your side right then. He's not going, when you hurry up and get over that, you can come back and see me. No, 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 no. You're His kid. He's putting you behind His hesed. And He's saying, you want to talk to this child? You're going to have to talk to me first. That's what He's saying. But the cool thing about this courts of heaven is He's the judge. Jesus is the mediator. And you win. And I know 2,957 times I'm going to tell it again. So there's some people that died and went to heaven. And the first was a little Sunday school teacher. And she went in and St. Peter said, tell me why you think you should be here. She says, well, I taught Sunday school for 32 years. He said, man, I'm sorry. That's not good enough. That's not the answer. Then the Boy Scout leader came in and said, I was a Boy Scout leader for 17 years. I did a good job. Sorry, that's not the answer. And then this hippie chick came up there. Hey, man, how's it going, Pete? What's going on? Well, why do you think you belong in heaven? I plead the blood. Go on in. And I'm telling you, it's not about your perfection. God will help you. You'll get His nature if you'll get the cart and the horse in the right place, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and you'll begin to live that way. Stop trying to earn your salvation. It's free. You've got it. The blood of Jesus was poured out into this earth so you could partake of it, and now you can have it all. You can have it all in Jesus' name. You receive this tonight, church? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Light always, always overtakes darkness. Thank you, Jesus.